You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello, welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Sergio Garcia wins the event that his foundation hosts, the Andalucía Valderrama Masters.
It's been an amazing year, and to win here at Valderrama at our tournament, it's very special.
One shot behind the home favourite was Dutchman Joost Luiten.
I mean, the atmosphere was great, you know, and especially when you come up 17 and they're all sitting behind the green on the bank. It's one of the best holes in golf, I guess. And, you know, I wish they would have been a little bit more quiet after 18, but, you know, that's golf. And Sergio deserved it.
Plenty to talk about as we review the action in Spain, including a check on those who are fighting for their European Tour cards. And then we'll look ahead to this week's event, the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by Jamie Spence. Jamie, how are you? You're looking very well, by the way.
What, more than normal?
No, you've got a sort of rouge flush in your face, like you've had some fresh air and you're full of the joys.
No, just the heating's been turned up. Well, that's all it is.
It's quite hot in there, actually, yeah.
They put 50p in the meter.
They're getting ready for the winter, aren't they? The long, cold winter. Andalucía Valderrama Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation. Jamie, on a very testing golf course, Valderrama.
Yeah, we used to play the Volvo Masters there, Rob. It's always difficult. It's nice to see the golf course stood the test of time. Only 17 players broke par. Pretty good weather. It always gets a bit breezy there. 12 under par is a very, very good winning score there for Sergio. Him and Joost sort of broke away from the pack, but breaking par around there is no easy task. And also, if you're in the lead, it's not easy one to defend or to improve upon, because you can make bogey on any hole. As we know, there's trees in the middle of the fairways. If you miss the fairways, you're in real trouble. But Sergio played brilliant.
When you play there as a player, was it a course that you liked?
Yeah, I did like it. I only had one top 10 round there.
Right.
But you can finish your round and think, well, actually, I played OK there. Shot 75.
Easily.
Shot 74 over.
Easily, yeah.
So you can shoot 3-4 over, playing quite nicely.
Yeah.
And if you don't play, if you start spraying off the tee, you're going to shoot 80.
How hard is it to keep your concentration going around there?
Every hole's a challenge.
Yeah.
Every single hole. The par threes are difficult, really, really, especially on the back nine there, the 12th and 15th, hitting that 12th green so hard. And then when you go on 13, it's only a three within a wedge, really, 9-9, but you've got to get the ball on the right side of the fairway to attack the flag. Those cork trees stick out at all sorts of angles. So, yeah, very, very demanding golf course. 17, they made that so much more difficult over the years. And the 18th tee shot, hated with that.
Well, there's no fairway here.
There's nowhere to hit. No, you try and carry the corner and hit the trees.
Well, because by the time it comes across the corner, it's running across the fairway. It's not going down the fairway.
It's not a great finishing hole, I've got to say. But tough.
Very difficult. Sergio hosting his own event. There's always a lot of things you've got to do if you are that man. He managed to do that and win. How difficult was that combination?
Yeah, very difficult, but he's in a great, great place, isn't he, in his golfing world and his private life.
Sure.
It's all going hunky-dory for Sergio. So I think coping... Little one on the way, got married and won a mask, got a green jacket hanging up.
I wonder if you're going to get a little mini green jacket for Junior.
Yeah.
You would, wouldn't you?
Well, of course you would.
Oh, you would. Got to be done.
Probably not the top of the list, but possibly.
Definitely there as an appendage.
But the other thing is he's playing a golf course he loves, that he plays really, really well, feels comfortable there. He accepted the role of host very, very well. It didn't seem to burden him. They're used to it. The top players are just used to that intrusion all the time.
Yeah. And he has closed the gap on Tommy Fleetwood to about 800,000 points.
Yeah, he has, but I don't think he's playing till Dubai, is he? Which is a shame. I'd like to see him maybe go and play in Turkey or Nedbank.
It'd be brilliant if he do that.
We don't know. I'm not certain.
You know, with a million-plus points at all these events now, if you knock one of those off and Tommy doesn't have a good week,
let's say Sergio doesn't play till Dubai, it'd be unlikely, in my opinion, that Tommy would be that far ahead that Sergio can't catch him. I'd have thought with the money available. What do you think?
Oh, I think if Sergio doesn't play until Dubai, he's out of the picture.
You think he's out?
I think Tommy's going to make...
I think he might still have a sneak, but...
I think Tommy's going to make enough money in these events to get to where Sergio can't reach him. Rahm, however...
Probably.
John Rahm, however...
And Tyrrell Hatton and Ross Fisher.
Yeah.
And Justin Rose, actually, as well. If they win, which is more than possible,
of course
in any of these, big money, then it's up for grabs. So Tommy's played great, though, I've got to say, but... It's up for grabs last 4 weeks.
And just off the top of my head, some tremendous performances. Joost Luiten giving Sergio a good run for his money. Daniel Brooks having to finish in the top five, probably where he did actually, probably third to get his card on the money list without using the access list. A Ricardo Gavere coming into the access list with a fine last week. Ashley Chester's doing the same thing. Mm. A big week for a lot of players.
Yeah, some golfing heroics happening all over the course. I mean, Joost Luiten, he's not had a great season, I'd have to say, Joost. I expect more of him than what he's delivered this year, but finished on a great note to the regular season. Anyway, Daniel Brooks was the week of his life to keep your playing privileges like he did. He had to finish top three to get on the main list and then fifth or sixth for the access list. So great performance on a difficult course. Not an easy day for him. Jamie Donaldson, even though he could have used his career money, you only get to use that once. He didn't want to use that.
Yeah. Finished fourth.
Yeah, Wade Ormsby. You just keep going down the list. Nino Battaglia, the Italian, you know. He's had a terrific last three
times. He had a fantastic Italian Open as well. He was right up there.
He's really grabbed it. And that's what the Race to Dubai does to you. You've got to produce the performances when you need it. Ashley Chesters, I saw his interview yesterday as well. Tough. He said it was a really tough day, but he shot 69, 68 at the weekend. Well done.
Yeah, so, I mean, in the final round itself, it looked like Luiten and Garcia, and they were pretty much going toe-to-toe.
It did once you got into the back nine. Yeah. They sort of surged away, no pun intended, Sergio, from the field. But, yeah, it was just, as you say, it was toe-to-toe all the way around the back nine. What impressed me about Sergio all week, and I didn't watch every shot he hit, but his putting. Those short putts on these greens, as we know, they're
Sergio,
treacherous.
They are.
And he holds some beauties from 4 or 5 feet.
He's been a man that swapped from the kind of claw right-hand grip to the normal grip.
Mm. I was on course with him in BMW International early in the season.
Yeah.
We missed a little tiddler on 16, and his putting stroke didn't look good that day. I'd have to say he should have won that by five. I've never had that much confidence over the last few years in his putting, but I must say, this weekend...
He was impressive.
Full marks.
Because Luiten caught him on the back nine.
He did, yeah. And it'd been easy for Sergio to miss a few, but he didn't. That putt he hit on 17.
Mm.
A little left to right. I mean, he dribbled it into the hole. He had no choice with that flag on the front left there. It's ball striking we just take for granted.
You can never take that for granted. If you stand on the range and go down the range and give every person a mark out of 100 for ball strike, and you get to Sergio, you think, well, that's the highest mark on the range.
Yeah, but he makes it look easy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why.
Spanish Ben Hogan.
Mm.
Well, a first major in the bag for Sergio, just married, a baby on the way, and now another win at Valderrama. Life is rosy for Sergio Garcia.
It's been an amazing year, and to win here at Valderrama at our tournament, it's very special. So, really excited about it. It's difficult to describe what it means to win at home and to win at your favorite golf course. But it was a hard day. I played very well, but Joe's played unbelievable, and never let me get away with it or anything like that. So, big clap for him too.
So, Jamie, everything good for Sergio. It's all going rather well.
They started off well. And to win Dubai at the start of the season is always one of the big events to win.
Big
he
push.
Carried it on in the Masters. Since the Masters, you can say maybe he hasn't performed as we would have expected in some events. Am I being a bit strict there?
No, I think you're not being strict, actually. I think, but also people don't realise what it's like to get used to being a major champion. There's a time period for that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the last major Sergio's going to win, you know.
I don't think so, no.
No,
I think he's in a great spot.
Yeah, I
really
think he
is. His experience, what's he, 37, Sergio's? I think he's very fit, very fit. I can see him playing for at least another 7 or 8 years.
Prime time.
At the top, prime time.
Prime time.
As I say, if he keeps putting well, I think he can do anything.
This is Sergio's third win of the season. You mentioned Dubai and the Masters, now, of course, his own event. He won the last staging of the Andalusia Masters in 2011, so technically he has defended. And he's only finished outside the top 10 once in 13 events at Valderrama. And now that is, we talked about it being a ball striker's golf course, that is a comprehensive tick to that. The win came just days after he was awarded honorary life membership of the European Tour in recognition of his triumph at Augusta National. The now 14-time European Tour winner becomes the 53rd player to be added to that exclusive list. To do it in Spain, for him, like a double cream on top of the pudding.
Well, he's taken over the mantle of Seve as the Spanish number one.
Mm. With Rahm tucked in behind.
Rahm's just starting out, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really, he's a rookie in comparison to Sergio. I know he's done some great things, Rahm, but Sergio's the main man. And the Spanish public really warmed to him, as the people from the UK and all over the world.
He's a fan favourite, isn't he?
I played with Sergio in his first event as a pro in Dubai.
I played with him before he turned pro.
Yeah, and straight away.
I thought I'd ruined him.
Well, I thought you would have done.
Yeah.
Once he was,
I passed the baton on to you.
Well, I'm sure.
And he got through us two and kept going.
Yeah, I think playing with us two probably gave him a lot of confidence.
Yeah, he must have thought,
blimey,
God, I'm good.
Yeah, God, how good am I?
Let's hear from the second place Joost Luiten, whose 273 aggregate total would have been enough to win all of the previous 21 European Tour events held at Valderrama. That is a stat.
Yeah, it was a great battle, you know, to go up against one of the best players in Europe. To go head-to-head down the stretch was really fun, and unfortunately I came up one short, and I missed a short one on 16, and that's the one that in the end I came up short. You know, when you go up against these boys, you got to go for the pins and you got to be aggressive, and that's what I tried, and it paid off in the beginning. And unfortunately, one mistake on the greens cost me, but that's golf. I mean, the atmosphere was great, you know, and especially when you come up 17 and they're all sitting behind the green on the bank. It's one of the best holes in golf, I guess, and it's great, you know. I wish they would have been a little bit more quiet after 18, but, you know, that's golf, and Sergio deserved it.
Just talk us about putt on 18.
Yeah, right to left putt. I had the right line, just slightly too much speed, and it lipped out. And, you know, I gave it a run, and, you know, Sergio just outplayed me today.
It is a golf course, Jamie, that you've got to drive the ball on. But as an iron player, if you fancy yourself with your irons, like Joost Luiten's a fantastic iron player, you've really got to arrive at Valderrama fancying your chances. Got to.
But you're right. I've always said that Luiten's iron play is fantastic. He hits it so straight, just goes for all the flags. The greens are holding as well. And once you get the ball in position off the tee, it suited him to the ground, Joost. Nice to see him have a really good performance, because I rate him as a player. And you start thinking in Ryder Cup terms, he's got a long way to go for that. But he's a good match player. He's always done well when he gets to a match play situation. So great finish from him. So he'll be looking forward to the next few weeks.
18 out of 22 cuts, but only two top tens. That is the surprising stat for him, yeah.
Yeah, that is unlike him. And normally he challenges a lot more than he has done this year. I'm not sure the reasons for that. I'm really not. I know his chipping could be a little bit better. Maybe he's missed a few greens that he shouldn't, or maybe his aggressive iron play has got him in a bit of trouble over the course of the year. But, you know, class comes to the top, doesn't it?
It sure does. Well, great win for Sergio Garcia, second for Joost Luiten, but must say, the performance of Daniel Brooks. Winning is one thing, that's got its own pressures, but having to play well to keep your card for the coming season is massive, massive pressure, as big as it gets, and nobody stood up to it more or better than Daniel Brooks. Daniel, you must be thrilled with what's happened this week.
Yeah, it was great. It was great fun playing the weekend in Spain with Sergio as well yesterday, and to hold on to my finish and keep third place and keep a card was brilliant.
So what did you say to yourself at the start of the week when you knew you had to perform heroically to get this done? What did you say to yourself?
Well, I knew I was playing some good golf coming into the event, not really getting the finishes I was sort of, where I was playing quite nice and not really coming anywhere. But I knew I was actually playing some nice golf, and, you know, I knew it was in me somewhere. And I just thought, you know, worst ways, you've got tour school in a few weeks and, you know, just give it all you got, and I've gone out there and had a great week.
So first things first, you've got to make the cut. You did that very successfully. Then what about Saturday? What a sparkling round of 7-under 64. How did that come about?
It was quite similar to the first 2 days. You know, I had plenty of birdies in there, and I just cut out the bogey. I had a couple of bogeys at the end there, but I struggled all week on 16 and 18 anyway. And yeah, I hit a lot of good iron shots that went quite close, and luckily, I converted the chances.
What's been your best performance at Valderrama before now?
I only played it once last year, and I think that was like 24 over par for the four rounds, so a vast improvement.
It is a very difficult golf course. With you having to finish so high up, probably top five or better, were you pleased that it was a difficult golf course, or would you have liked a birdie shootout, you know, a 25-under venue?
No, probably being a tougher golf course helped in a way, because I was playing some nice golf. I was hitting it quite straight. The iron play was very good, and yeah, it sort of takes a lot of the guys out having to go low. So knowing if I just had a good round yesterday, shooting around level par, maybe just a couple under, that would have done the job.
How were you feeling yesterday morning then, before you went out? You must have been pretty nervous.
Yeah, I wasn't too bad actually. I was quite nervous when I woke up, but when I got to the range and started hitting a few balls, I got more and more chilled out as the day went on. I think I was more nervous on the Saturday morning, to be honest.
Who's the better ball striker, you or Sergio?
I think he might just have me on that one, especially when it's his freewood.
How impressed were you with his game?
Yeah, it's impressive. You know, he just hits this nice little fade off the tee, and it's just such a solid action through the ball, and it's the same shot every time. You know, it's the winner.
Sort of become a match, isn't it, for the tournament between Joost and Sergio? How difficult was it for you to sort of concentrate on what you had to do? You had to finish top three to get your card in the top 100. It must have been quite tricky,
Joost,
that.
Yeah, Joost played some great golf as well. They both played really well. I think they had a couple of the best scores of the day. So, I mean, I was keeping an eye on them as well. And, you know, I had to go out there and do my job at the end of the day, and that was to finish in the top five, and I was just happy I'd done that.
What was the reason, Daniel, do you think, that you put yourself in this position, you know, after a whole season?
I had a bad summer. You know, nothing quite went right through the summertime. I started hitting it quite poorly, and we had those big Rolex events where I just weren't scoring at all. And, you know, it gets a bit disheartening that time of year when you're not playing good golf and there's big prize money up for grabs. But I'd say the last 6 weeks or so, I've actually been playing some nice golf and just not getting much out of it. But no, this week it finally came together.
What will you do now, Daniel? Have a break, or are you looking forward to playing a few more events? What's the plan?
Yeah, I'll just wait and see what I get into, really. If I don't get any of the end of season ones, I think I'll start off again in Hong Kong.
And what will you do, Daniel, differently to what you did in 2017? What's going to be the Daniel Brooks plan going forward to make sure that you continue playing like you do?
Well, I just keep working on the things I've been working on the last couple of months. And, you know, I've got this little training gadget now, which I got off my pal, Dunk.
Oh, tell us all about it. Tell us all about it.
I mean, it's called The Secret, so I can't tell you much more than that. But that is the name of the...
That's a good name.
...the tool. That is the name of the tool.
That's brilliant.
So I've just been going to keep working on that, because it seems to be doing the trick and getting my body working a bit better through the ball. So I think that's the key for me.
So you're a Man United fan?
Unfortunately.
So am I. How do you rate the season so far?
Well, it started off all right, but the last couple of weeks have been absolutely terrible, really. Against Liverpool and then away in the Champions League and getting duffed up by Huddersfield's not much fun.
Well, you both sound like typical Man United fans
really. Listen, I am not dissing Jose, no way. I'm hanging right in there. It's all going to plan. Don't you worry about it. He knows exactly
what
he's doing.
All those injuries is the problem.
Yeah, we get Pogba back and yeah.
It'll all be good.
I mean, Jamie's an Arsenal fan, and if you could see his face now, it's just a picture. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to take it and send it to you. Daniel, thanks for talking to us.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
A fantastic performance under pressure, and you really did come up with the goods. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Now, what about the 2014 Ryder Cup hero, Jamie Donaldson? He needed a massive finish to avoid going to the qualifying school or using his career money list exemption, neither of which he wanted to do. And a 71 saw him finish fourth and move from 118 to 99th on the race to Dubai.
I mean, obviously, I had a bit of a cushion of knowing that I didn't need possibly to had an exemption, you know, but even so, you don't want to use it, really. So, yeah, it's obviously on your mind, and, you know, you just got to try and keep making birdies and see where that takes you. This course is one of the best, not in Europe, possibly in the world. It's like I said yesterday, it's like playing chess. You know, you've got to not hit it in the middle of the fairway. You've got to put on parts of the fairway. You've got to put it on the left or the right to have an angle in to miss a tree. It's an absolute design masterpiece. You know, to play this every year is an absolute pleasure.
It's good that you know, all the top players really rate Valderrama. It's a venue that everyone talks about, and they're always pleased to go back there.
Yeah, they are.
Because if you back yourself, you know, you can discount half the field.
It can drive you mad as well.
It can.
We've had a few interviews with the guys further down the list. They might not have the same opinion, because it can absolutely drive you around the twist.
But in the end,
driving be behind, you know, you can be. But I think I'd
you
agree
can't
with,
fake it around there.
No,
for four
I agree,
rounds.
Jane. You've got to play. Yeah. You've got. There's no part of your game that can be off. You've got to be on it all the time. Greens got a lot of slope in them as well. You miss the greens, your touch has got to be beautiful. Your bunker play has got to be spot on. Mm. You've got to think well. You've got to stay patient. All that sort of
and
stuff.
And take your medicine sometimes.
Take your medicine. All that sort of stuff that we were useless at.
Yeah, completely useless, yeah, and very average. Now, Jamie, top 10 from the Andalucía Valderrama Masters, hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation, and winner, please.
Yes, Rob. Tied 8, Julian Suri, Robert Rock, Aaron Rye, and the impressive Nino Battaglia. Tied 6th, Anders Hansen, out of retirement. He's playing more golf. Scott Jameson as well, tied 6th. Wade Ormsby in 5th. Jamie Donaldson, 4th. Daniel Brooks in a very impressive 3rd spot. Joost Luiten played fantastic for 2nd, but our champion and our host, Sergio Garcia.
You know, Wade Ormsby jumps from 106 to 82nd. That might be round about Turkey.
Yeah, it could get him into that. I think he was safe on the access list, Wade, as well. But obviously he wants to improve his position, wants to get in all the big events at the end of the season. And he's been in this spot a few times.
He has. It's unbelievable how obviously not year after year, but a lot of the times you see a lot of the same names there. And obviously very good players.
And it was interesting listening to his interview yesterday. It was almost like, I've been here before, I can cope with it really well, I know what's coming. And it was a very professional performance from Ormsby.
Yeah, not the first time he's done that, by the way. Top 10, please, Jamie, in the Race to the My Rankings, presented by Rolex.
Well, in 10th is Justin Rose. Rory's in 9th. Francesco Molinari in 8th. Alex Noren, 7. Cabrera Bayo at 6. Tyrrell Hatton. Can he continue his winning streak? He's at fifth place. Ross Fisher at four. John Rahm at three. Sergio moved up to challenge Tommy, a little bit closer at second. And Tommy Fleetwood, as I said, number one.
Worth mentioning that Ashley Chester's with a 69-68 weekend finished one under to make his way onto the access list and keep his card. Ricardo Gavea also had a good finish to do the same. Therefore, because two went in, two dropped out, and those two were Xander Lombard and Joel Stalter. So, you know, for every bit of success for somebody is heartbreak for somebody else. That's the way it is.
It's always the same at the end of the season, Rob.
Yeah.
Someone's heartbreak equals someone's triumph.
So give us the top 10 crucial places then in the access list, which on this year's order of merit come after 101st position.
Yeah. So Ashen Wu was the last man to get his card there. At 10th spot, Ricardo Gavea at 9. Ashley Chesters comes in at 8. Peshara Kongwatmai, the young Thai player, he's at 7. Carlos Bichem at 6. Jason Scrivener, he's played well this year, he's at fifth. David Lingmuth at four. Mikko Ilonen, the veteran, at three. Chris Paisley's done well this year, he's at two. And James Morrison, quite rightly, he was the number one.
And good luck to all those players heading into 2018. Now, fancy race to the bye tips. I went for John Rahm, and I know he hits the driver everywhere, but that is the one course you can't do it on.
I went for John Rahm as well. I made him my captain. What a wally.
Hands up, anyone who's surprised?
What, me being
nobody.
A Wally? Or,
yeah, nobody.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, and you also went for Matt Wallace, I see.
Yeah.
He's played well.
He's striking the ball really well at the minute, yeah. And that's the sort of golf course. And top 20 for Matt. He finished 18th, which is pretty good. Ilzy got the winner, Sergio Garcia. He went out on the limb there with that one. And Felipe Aguilar, 61st for Paul Ilzy. So congratulations to the Merseysider. In the fancy race to the buyer game, this is a great name, and I'm having a go at it, and I'm sorry if I get it wrong. I'm going to go for, because it's quite exotic looking with a very high score in Scrabble. I'm going to go for Elbaze Gilbert. And Elbaze, it could be Elbaze, I'm not sure. Let us know. Anyway, you earned the most points last week with Sergio as captain plus Loughton and Donaldson. That's a tremendous effort of picking the top three or four, which Donaldson was fourth. Meanwhile, Jason Collier is the global leader with time running out for second-placed Elizabeth H, who's been at the top for so long, and the rest to catch him. Meanwhile, in our Race to Dubai Show Mini League, listener Anthony Perrin registered the most points this week, but longtime leader Neil Morrison is still ahead overall. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their fantasy three to watch at this week's WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai. Now, in other news, Oliver Farr claimed his second European Challenge Tour title with a five-shot victory at the Foshan Open. The Welshman has now amassed enough points on the road to Oman to be assured of a European Tour return next season. His roommate in Foshan, England's Ryan Evans, also secured his main tour card through a tied third-place finish. On the European Senior Tour, Stephen Dobb won the Farm Foods European Senior Masters at the Forest of Arden. Do you remember the ninth hole off the back tees at the Forest of Arden?
Horrible. That's why I didn't play.
Wake up screaming in the middle of the night. Yeah, no. I don't think the old boys played it off the back tee. I think they played the other side of the water.
I'd hope not.
They should have had them from the back pegs. The Welshman beat Paul McGinley and the American Clark Dennis by one shot. On the PGA Tour, Justin Thomas won again. This time it was the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges in South Korea, which he secured by defeating Mark Leishman in the playoff and a healthy check of over $1.5 million for the first prize.
Just
he's not making enough money,
no,
Justin Thomas.
He's struggling, isn't he?
He's not making enough money.
He's going to have to go and get a loan.
So with that in mind,
his career.
With that in mind, Jamie, and all the points that it carried, a top 10 in the world rankings, please.
Well, Rob, 10th spot goes to our Andalusia champ, Sergio. 9th is Henrik Stenson. Jason Day, he's still in that top 10 at number 8. Ricky Fowler at 7. Rory's at 6. John Rahm at 5. Hideki Matsuyama, he's at 4. Justin Thomas, 3. Spieth, 2. And Dustin Johnson, 1. They're a pretty good, strong top 3, you have to say.
Sure are. And there was a lovely moment for next year's Ryder Cup captains Thomas Bjorn and Jim Furyk as the pair hit golf balls off the Eiffel Tower last week, 41 years after the legendary Arnold Palmer became the first and only previous person to do so. The 2018 event will be held at Le Golf National, of course, in Paris. All right, let's look ahead to this week's event on the European Tour, and in fact, in the world, the WGC HSBC Champions at the Sheshan International Golf Course, where Hideki Matsuyama won this event last season, and 12 months ago, he was red hot.
Yeah, he was. Oh. It was just winning everything, wasn't he, at the end of the year, Hideki, and he won this comfortably last year, played sensational golf. Really good course, this.
Have you been there?
No, I haven't been there, but yeah, I've covered the event a few times on TV. Good finish. 18's a great par 5.
16, the par 4.
Yeah, 16 can drive it.
15, the tough par 4.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's a good watch. Really, really good watch. And they've assembled an incredible field this time of year. Great field. Plenty to play for.
And for someone like Tommy Fleetwood, a chance to... maybe put to bed the Race to Dubai. If he wins, it would certainly go a long way to doing that. Well, give us a feel for who's playing.
Well, if Tommy does that this week, he deserves to win the Race to Dubai in this field. So you got Brooks Koepka, US Open champion, Dustin Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, defending champion, John Rahm's gone. This course will suit him a lot more than Valderrama. Henrik Stenson, Jason Day, Justin Rose is playing. Mark Leishman's playing. He's been playing very well. Lately, Patrick Reed, Cabrera Bayo, you just keep going on and on and on. Phil Mickelson's there, he's won this event. Matt Fitzpatrick, Thomas Peters, Tyrrell Hatton, you could just keep you going on and on and on here. So,
Xander Schauffele won the Tour Champs, another really good young American player.
Absolutely. So, Ross Fischer's gone out there going, I mean, he's due to win, isn't he, Ross? He played this course really well in the past as well, Fischer. So, yeah, it's very difficult to...
Well, I can't pick a winner out of all those people you just mentioned there.
That's a hard one.
I don't know if you've got someone up your sleeve or you've made your mind up. Give us a clue.
Well, I'd have to go for Matsuyama on this golf course.
To defend. There's been a lot of it at the minute, hasn't there?
Yeah, I think he'll run a good race this week, Matsuyama. I was going to pick Dustin Johnson. He hasn't played much golf, has he? Dustin Johnson.
I always
go to Dustin Johnson.
That's what he does, though.
He's just an incredible athlete. And the way he plays his course as well.
Yeah, he's going to be hard to beat, Dustin.
And I'm looking for a European. Tyrrell Hatton can't keep winning, can he? Can he?
Well, he can.
I suppose he can.
I'll tell you what, no one's playing better than him.
No, they're not, are they? So he'll be looking forward to it. So with Ross Fischer, as I've said. But I'm going to pluck Molinari out on a course he's won on.
Playing well. Had a great
playing
Italian
really,
Open.
Really well. Yeah. I think he'll have a good week.
Okay, I'm going to counter that with Patrick Reed, funnily enough.
Very good, Rob.
Patrick Reed showing that he's getting back to some sort of form, and when he gets his putter hot...
Is that your European pick? Because he's a member.
He is a member, but I'm having him as my
international.
International, indeed, because you've gone Matsuyama, yes. Who's definitely not American.
Right. Okay.
So you've gone for the Japanese player. I'm going for the American Patrick Reed, and I'm going to go for John Rahm for exactly the reason that you brought up, and that is he loves to hit driver, and you can hit a lot of drivers around here.
Yeah, you can. So, good pick.
Yeah, and the thing about Rahm is that people don't perhaps realise that in his first rookie season, he has performed the way he has on courses he doesn't know. It's been quite extraordinary.
Do you not think we're expecting too much of him, though? Because he's come on the scene so strongly and won so many good events when he won in Ireland.
Listen, he's world's top five.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So with that comes expectation and pressure. And he just is he's a really good player. He really is. So I'm going to have Rahm and Patrick Reed. I know you're thrilled about
that. Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, that's it for now. Next week, we will review events in China and look ahead to the Turkish Airlines Open at the Regnum Carrier Golf and Spa Resort in Antalya. The first of three season-ending Rolex Series events in a row. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And please leave us a lovely review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for...
Molinari and Matsuyama.
And me, Robert Lee, who has gone for... Patrick Reed.
I know you forgot.
And John Rahm.
You forgot.
Oh, it's good to see you laughing, Jamie. It doesn't happen often. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.